Have your Bibles, turn if you would please to Matthew chapter 9. One important thing he left out, and I'll warn you before I get started that I stutter. So occasionally I get stuck on a word and I just bounce the word out or whatever. I slide it out. One time I went to church and I was a lot younger then, and I got stuck on a word. This lady here on the front, about four or five rows back, I got stuck on a word and I couldn't say it. And she's going, and I was going, and the more she went, the more I went. I said, "Lady, stop. You're killing both of us. Just stop." So if I get stuck on a word and you think it's humorous, it does not hurt my feelings a bit to smile or laugh. Have you ever heard about the Bible salesman that stuttered? Have you heard about Bible salesman that stuttered? There's a guy went off to Bible college, and he needed a job, but he had a real bad stutter. He stuttered a lot worse than I do. And so, he went to a Bible place and asked for it to be a salesman. And they said, "Sir, we're not being mean. Because you always try to be nice to people who stutter. Just, don't hurt their feelings." He says, "I'm trying to be mean, but you stutter. And you can't be a door-to-door salesman." And the guy said, "Please, sir, I really need a job." And the guy felt sorry for this poor guy stuttered. He's okay. "You got 1 week. Come back in 1 week. Let's see how it went." So he went out and sold. He came back in a week. He'd sold his quota for the week. And the guy just looked at him. He said, "No, the week." And so anyway, about 4 months later, this guy broke the sales records for that company. So they had a big place to get together. They honored him for all his sales. And then the manager of the company said, "Sir, can you tell us your secret to selling Bibles though you stutter?" He said, "Well, I just knock on the door, say, 'Did you buy a Bible or do you want me to read it to you?' And they buy the Bible." So, folks, I've learned one thing in life. If we cannot laugh at ourselves, we're in bad shape. Tonight, my name is Rick Salee. I was like, because I do it for 30 years. About 8 years ago, we started a mission down in Cincinnati. It's down on Vine Street, a very rough area of town. But it's where I grew up at before I moved out by Kuzadale. So basically the mission started about four houses from where I lived at as a child down there. And when we started mission, it was right on Vine Street. There was a lot of drugs. Everything that goes with the inner city was there in the town. And the Lord blessed there. We was there on Saturdays and Sunday afternoons and Wednesday nights. And then the Lord blessed. We saw some folks saved and was able to help some folks. And then about 8 years later, Pastor Burke decided it was time to organize into a church. And so, we thought about organizing. And then in the meantime, another church in Arlington Heights had called us. And said, "Our church is closing down." And that's something sad in America today. There's a lot of churches today that's closing down. And they said, "So our church, there's three members left and we're shutting the doors." And they said, "Would you want our facilities?" I said, "I'm not poor mouthing, but our folks are either homeless or just a step above homeless." I think at that time there was no one even on the car in our church. And this lady pastor, she's a lady pastor from another denomination. She says, "But sir," she said, "it's free." She said, "All you have to do is move in." So I said, "I can make an appointment to come see the church." And I expected a small, rundown place, trash, with everything all messed up and broken. And I walked in, and it was like, wow, it's just a nice place. Even has an elevator. We're in high cotton. It's got an elevator. And when they moved out, they just moved out. They left the PA system. They left song books. They left all the Sunday school material. When they left, they simply stepped out and we stepped in. And so the Lord has blessed. We was running about 9 or 10 at that time. I think we had 25 this past Sunday. And so we're up in the upper 20s now. And the Lord is blessing. But tonight I'd like to share with you, these verses here. And then I would like to tie this in with, a story about our church, if I could. Now, if I get talking, but Eric, it's your job. I'm giving you a job. Can you do it? Don't mess it up. Okay, there's a guy in my church. If I start talking too fast, he goes like this. Okay, if I get talking too fast, you go like this. Okay, but let's practice. There you go. Good. Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do love you. Lord, I thank you for these folks in this church. And God, I pray you just continue to have your hand upon it. Lord, my heart is heavy tonight as I begin to think about how many churches in America are closing today. A lot of good churches that are shutting their doors. And Lord, there's very few that's going out to plant new churches. God, I know it's still, I know that your word is still true. Your word doesn't change, and we're told to go. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help me to be an encouragement. Lord, I'm scared tonight. I'll be honest, Lord, I'm scared to death tonight. But God, I just pray you take control and you bless. Lord, I pray folks tonight, would you just listen. As the Holy Spirit of God, just speak to their hearts now. As you bless, we ask in Christ's name, amen. There in Matthew chapter 9, we'll be reading verse 35. It says in Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep. Having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. For what I understand this year is about at the time that Christ was getting ready to start his third tour of Galilee. Back in verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities. So let's go back to the book of Matthew chapter 4. I believe we're all go back to Matthew chapter 4 and let's see where all he had been. And in Matthew chapter 4 verse 23, we see some of the places that Christ had been. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. It said, among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria so that they brought into him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments and those which were possessed with devils and those which were lunatic and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis. I think that's mostly a Greek region, if I remember right, Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Then look over at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. Matthew 8, 5 through 8. Chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. But let's look at 8:2 first. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Okay, then skip on down to verse 5. And when Jesus went entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, a Roman, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. He said, I will come and heal him. And then look over to verse chapter 8, verse 24. And behold, that there rose great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, all you little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. Then look on to verse 28. And we was come to the other side of the country, the other Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? And then look on over, if you would, please, over to, back to chapter 9 and verse 18. 9:18, we're just looking at some people that he dealt with. 9:18. While he spake these things, then behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Then verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I might touch his garment, I will be whole. And then look at verse 35, where we started at. And Jesus went about all cities and the villages, teaching their synagogues. Then verse 35 for our first point tonight. But he saw the multitudes, but he was moved. He had been to all those places, and then he saw the multitude with compassion. The word compassion, the Bible definition that it say is to be moved inwardly, to yearn with tender mercy, affection, pity, and empathy. He was moved with compassion. In our lives, tonight I want to look at a few types of folks that we've come across there in the inner city. I'm going to give you some examples. There's a man named Bob Sims came to our church. He came to our church. He had lost everything. He lived in the back of his van. He had nothing. He came to church one night to help out. We had a food night. And he just got wanting to be right with the Lord again. He walked in and said, "Preacher," he said, "I come to help you." I said, "No, you can't help us. That you can stay and eat in fellowship. That's what we want here." But brother, I said, "I love you." I said, "Yeah, Pastor Rick." He told me who he was. And, so he said, "Well, no." He said, "If I can't help, I'm leaving." I said, "Well, there's the door. I'm sorry, but no." And I said, "I got my helpers. I want you to stay." So he left. About 15 minutes later, he come back. He said, "Okay, I come to fellowship. I need that." So he came and sat down. His story was this. He had a business. He had three homes. He was a faithful member of a church. Somewhere along the way, he got crossed with the Lord. He quit going to church. His wife left him. His kids got on drugs. And they were a mess. And so he told me where he went to church at. And the pastor's name, so I call the pastor. You know, I always call pastors that you want to come across other people from their church. I said, "Listen," I said, "you know, there's a fellow here. He's from your church, and days gone by." He said, "He's a waste. Don't waste my time on him. You want him? He's yours. He'll do nothing for you." That man since then has not missed a Sunday unless he's sick. He's tired. He makes $600 a month. His rent is $400 a month. He's not missed a tithe in 9 years since then. There's a lot of folks out there that used to be in church, that used to be active, and sins got into their lives and destroyed their families. Since I met Bob, his son's been murdered. He's stayed strong. His daughter OD'd, was pronounced dead. And they found out she wasn't dead, but her mind's just not right. He's still faithful as the day is long. The first group of people, and there are many like him that I have met, but there are people out there that are hurting that got out of church. And now most churches won't do anything, have anything to do with them because they're down and they're out. They're on bottom and they're one nip. Who will help them? The second group of people is like this Mo Ford. Mo's a Cherokee Indian, and she lives on the street. And she's different. She was saved as a child at Landmark Baptist Church there in Cincinnati back in the 70s when they had a large bus. They had 105 buses at one time. And then when the gas crunch came, they canceled out the bus routes. And who was very active there, youth group and all. She had no way to church because from her house to Landmark was probably about 18, 19 minutes, but it was a whole lot of walking if you're a kid. So she grew up and she got out of church. I mean, you know, she got left behind. And now she lives on the street. You got right with the Lord. But there's a lot of things they're missing in her life because of those times where she was left behind. I think of Vicky, young girl, for sake of the crowd, she works on the street. She's the third generation person that worked there on the street, her mom and grandma. She's following her steps. She's a preacher. I'm stuck. I've got to be this. It's my destiny in life. I said, "No, Miss Vicky. It's not." I said, "I love you." She said, "I can't." She's not yet, after 9 years, she's not yet saved. Most of you here are an outcast and a waste of time. How would you see her tonight? There's a lady named Marlene Butler. Miss Marlene came to our church, and she was a very street person. Well, she wasn't quite. She had a house part time and street part time, but she was a part time street person. I'll just call her. And she came in. She said, "I'm a good person." She said, "I don't do this." And she was a moral, clean person overall. But she thought that she was just okay because she lived a good life compared to those on the street, her friends. I said, Miss Marlene, I said, just keep coming to church. You just sit and you listen. I said, I love you. And for a while, she lost everything. So she lived in one of our Sunday school rooms for about a year. She lived back there. And one Sunday morning, I was preaching out of Genesis. And I got the part about the blood sacrifice. I said, now, why is it that God accepted one, not the other? She said, it's the blood. It's the blood, preacher. And she ran down front and got saved that morning. There's a lot of people like Miss Marlene on the street that are good people, that live a good life, but yet they haven't heard the gospel. There are lots of, I could give you name after name of a person that we've dealt with, that we've helped. The one that broke my heart the worst, and I cannot remember her name tonight. She came in one Saturday morning, and I talked to her about an hour, about a half hour or 45 minutes there at the church, and she said, "I want help." I said, "What?" I said, "With the Word of God." She said, "No, I don't want that. I said, "Well, that's what's going to help you. And she says, "No." She said, I refuse that help. I said, "Well, I love you. Can I have prayer with you? She said, "No, don't pray." She said, "I don't need the Bible." I said, "Would you please let me show the word?" So she allowed me to share the plan of salvation with her, and she put her hands over her ears and went out the door screaming. Next morning, I turned on the news. She stepped out in front of the train that night. It drug her 5 city blocks before the train could get stopped. Who cares about these folks? Let's go back to our text. I have a part of an outline, but I'm just wondering if the Lord leads tonight. Look at back at Matthew chapter 9. I'm just sharing my heart. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw potential. He saw him in verse 27. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous. He saw the potential. As I look down on those folks down in Cincinnati and Arlington Heights, the area we're in now is about six minutes from where we started at. But I look down those folks, I see potential. I see a lot of people have made some bad decisions, and they think they're stuck in a way of life. I see a lot of people that's messed their lives up, and most churches won't help them. Look at verse 38. I'm going to just skip that part. Verse 38. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We've heard these mission messages. If you've been in church, you've heard these verses used over and over and over again. But as I was studying on it this last couple of weeks, and I preached on it at our church on Sunday night, and I didn't have much of an outline then either, but I can't outline it like my heart wants to. My quick question tonight to Stephen simply is this. When the Lord looked, he looked with compassion. He was moved with compassion. I think he had compassion, number one, because he's with the Lord. He was the Lord. I think he also had experience. He had walked all of Galilee. According to Josephus, were like 3 million people at the time. That time, he had walked over the whole area. He had touched lepers. He had healed people. His feet had been anointed by a wicked woman, what we would call her. He was moved with compassion. I think the missing ingredient in our church planting and our missions in our churches today is that of compassion. I think many people have a burden A burden is something that we carry. Compassion moves us to help. A lot of times we take and we give to help our burden so others can go. But because we lack compassion, we don't go. In our lives tonight, what kind of ministry do we have? Not to see if you're pastor, associate pastor, bus worker, bus director, whatever. Individuals, all of us. Do we have a ministry of compassion? Do we really care about people? I believe the Lord set the example there in verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities. I think we at church have got so used to church. We've got so used to being around people that are like us that we forgot there are people out there that are hurting, people that are going through hard times. I think if we were out and about more among the people, our hearts would break more. I can go down through Elmwood now to this day because we still have a van route runs down there and picks people up. And I see Vicky, and my heart hurts because I know Vicky personally. I see where Tracy used to stand. My heart hurts. Remember the night I watched the news and saw her picture where she'd been murdered that night after getting saved. When I see Bob Sims, my heart hurts as he talks about his son and his daughter and all they're going through. Here, I believe the Lord's heart hurt. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Tonight, I encourage all of us, let's take a step back and let's begin to see people as they are. But with that said, we can't see them as they are if we don't know who they are, where they are, how they live, what their aches and pains are. It's tough in this world to get to know people. It's crazy times. But I patterned my life many years ago after this verse. He went about all the cities. I try to go everywhere. I walk down Vine Street. I walk, and I'm not saying I, because I'm no way lifting myself up, so please don't take, this is just saying, this is how I live out this verse. The Lord led me. I've been in every house in Elmwood. Any kind of house you would imagine, I've been there. I'm knocking the door. I said, hi, I'm Pastor Rick. I love you. I'm trying to start the church down the street. Anything we need to help, please let us know. Some people have used me, and that's fine. They used our Lord. Some have cursed me. They've cursed our Lord. But I begin to have a burden for them. I'm afraid today, as church members, I'm afraid we have lost our compassion. Not our burden. A burden will move us. We can watch the slides. We can hear sad stories. And we can hear the true stories. We can hear stories like that. And we're moved. And we have a burden. But we're not changed. We're moved. And we'll give our pocketbook because we have a burden, but we don't go because we have no compassion. Tonight, message simply is short and simply this. Have we lost our compassion? My wife, is it okay if I step off the platform? Okay. Let me go here to a handrail so I can walk. If I stand still, my knee locks up. Joy's getting older. I like my wife come up here. Oh, this is my come here, Lydia. I use her for illustration all the time. Come here. I'm gonna just make myself home. Beat me. Here's my wife. She's a sweetheart. She's my baby. My wife, born in a Christian family. When I went to church, first where she was what?
A baby.
Always in church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Her mom had a bus route with 60, 70 kids. I mean, always in church. She went to Christian school, high school. She went to Bible college. She met me. That's the only thing that kind of messed her up a little bit. But she met me, we've been married. She's been a pastor's wife for over at that time, it's about 30 years. And she always hands out tracts. We give the mission, she's hand out tracts. She's always done that. But after we went down to Elmwood, something changed. One day she said, "Rick, these are just ordinary people made bad decisions." I said, "Yeah. That Vicky I talked about became her best friend. She comes up, gives her hugs. And Lydia loves her now. She had a burden before. Now she's got compassion. I know you have a burden. You have compassion. To get compassion, I need to get out of my comfort zone and do what the Lord did. He walked out among people. He touched the people. He healed the people. He spent time with the people. He's out and about with the people. And they flocked to him. For one, because he was the Lord, but number two, they knew he cared. They knew he cared. He went outside his comfort zone and began to meet those folks. I encourage you tonight, step back a little bit. How many people do you know that you've invested in their lives? Church planning is investing in the lives of the people, not just our checkbooks, but us. Going, sit next to them, the hospital with them all night, to be there when someone calls, their sons got murdered. One guy came in and he was on heroin, got right to the Lord, trying to get off heroin. He went home, having withdrawals. And another addict felt sorry for him and he shot him up. He died instantly. What do you tell the family? Sometimes all you do is go up and say, "I love you. I'm sorry. I'm praying for you." And be there. Tonight, my challenge, again, is simply this. I know this church has a burden. The question is, do you have compassion? If Bob Sims would have came here, would he have received the same reaction that one pastor when I called him? I don't think so. But I'm going to ask, would it be accepted here? If those people I mentioned before, Tracy and Vicky, if they come through those back doors, if you had a burden for them, you'd welcome them. If you had compassion, you'd go sit with them. Say, "Listen, we're so glad you're here. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming to our church. I'm so-and-so. Your name is what? My wife before Elmwood was always friendly. But now it's different. They can sense it. Folks can sense when they walk through these doors if we have a burden or we have compassion. Tonight, just a second, we're going to have an invitation. I want to ask you tonight, would you bow the knee there at your pew? You're the church, whatever. You're here at the altar. Say, "Lord, help me have compassion." Why do you need compassion, preacher? Number one, because our Lord had it. And Jude says, "And some having compassion made a difference." If we want to make a difference in our lives, let's have compassion on people.